The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hello, artists. Welcome to another episode of the Unpublished Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about
why it isn't a shame or isn't shameful to make money from your art, and why it doesn't reduce the purity of your art, whatever that means.
Why money doesn't tarnish your art.
First, though, I wanted to remind you all that we are coming to America in about a month, the 25th of May. We're going to be in LA, and on the 1st of June, we're going to be in San Francisco. We're doing a workshop each day. It's a 5-hour workshop. So if you enjoy the podcast and you want to be in the same room as us for 5 hours, it's actually a lot more organized than the podcast, I'll have to say. A lot of interactivity, a lot of teaching from Amo and myself, Q&A. If you come to LA, you have the added bonus of we're in a beautiful tea house and you'll be served amazing teas that have been designed by Tea at Shiloh to match what we're talking about as well.
So cute.
We're really excited for this. You know, one of our absolute favorite things to do is to teach live and to meet you all. It's honestly maybe as much as writing the thing that we enjoy.
Exactly. Yeah, so there are still tickets left for that. And we would love to see you there.
And you don't obviously, you can please travel from anywhere. If you, in fact, if you do end up traveling from somewhere outside of California, we would love to know.
Yeah,
and we would love to see you and thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And we'd be very grateful to you for doing that too.
Yeah, no, it would be such an honor and a privilege to get to be with you and be in your presence.
And we also have 4 tiers of ticket prices. So everything from the lowest ticket price at $50 up to like a super ultra premium one at $2,000, which honestly, we don't think anyone's going to do that one, but we just put it there as an experiment. And, you know, $50 gets you into the event, gets you chatting, meeting us, learning from us, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've been really interested as to how this like kind of different price structure will work, but I think it's been serving people. So,
yeah. Amy just almost knocked over artwork, which is always nice.
It's my own artwork though, so who gives a fuck?
So let's begin. Wow, it's really about to go. Okay, I'm back. I just had an entire canvas fall on my head. It was very comical. It would have been straight out of a Tom and Jerry episode. Or an Itchy and Scratchy episode. My wife just tried to kill me via canvas.
My own canvas.
In my own office.
Rude. So let's get into this conversation about money and this idea that money tarnishes art. And I think it's actually like, this whole thing was triggered because I saw a thread about does money tarnish art? And there were so many people who really, really do believe that it does. And people feel that once we ask for money for our art, it ceases to be art. It becomes content or product. People believe that once there is an intention other than expression behind art, so the intention being to make money, that it dirties it and makes it cease to be art. And I think there's just this very romantic idea that art is only, has to be this very pure intention of just pure expression.
It makes me actually extremely mad because I don't understand where it comes from. It's like, we're not asking anyone else to do their job for free. We're not asking anyone else to do their job for free. And art brings immense value to the world. And yet there's this group of people who think that we don't deserve to be paid for it.
I know.
I mean, if I'm to be frank, like it's obvious who it benefits, the narrative benefits. And I feel like the people who subscribe to the narrative are kind of just stooges for the big gatekeeping corporations.
Interesting.
Do you agree?
So what do you feel like that this narrative benefits like what Amazon and like,
if there's a cultural narrative that we don't deserve to be paid for our art.
Mm.
Oh, a gallery is going to be like, great.
Yeah.
We're going to take as much of a clip as we can because we'll just capture the value. A giant company like Amazon is going to be like, great, we're going to pay Amy a 25% royalty on audiobooks, which by the way is what we get, 25% on an audiobook sale from Amazon. Because when we put up all the financial risk for it, all they do is host a file.
Mm.
They don't even have a good search function for it. It's like someone has to know about the book to find it.
Yeah.
And they're taking 75% of it. So that's between Amazon and Spotify. Spotify distributes it, and then Amazon's the marketplace for Audible. It's just fucking ridiculous. Like, I'm so sorry. The only way that that can exist is when there's a cultural narrative that we don't deserve to be paid.
Mm.
There's a cultural narrative that big corporations deserve to make money, but individual artists don't. It costs us $4,000 per audiobook to make an audiobook.
Yeah.
And Amazon's taking 75% of the value.
Yeah.
They put up disgusting. Zero risk, zero cost to do that. How is that
and the
ethical?
Part that makes me angry, I know it shouldn't, but it's how many artists want to get behind this. I'm like, stop. Oh my God, stop. What the fuck is wrong with you? There's like a purity cult around art, and it shows itself in many ways, but this one is the one that pisses me off almost the most. It's so fucking romantic. This idea that we're human beings, like we're so complex, and our intentions behind creating art are going to be so multifaceted and so nuanced. And of course, like, they're going to be corrupt in some way or another.
Can I jump in for a second to say, I'm not saying you personally, the listener, have to make money from your art. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the problem is people perpetuating the idea and saying all art must be free, or all art is solely by getting paid. Sure, if you want to keep your art a hobby, totally fine by me, obviously. I just don't start a movement saying no one should be paid for their art. Or don't start going on Threads and saying art is corrupted. I'm going to name and shame here. Don't be Rick Rubin and write in your book that making money from your art, I can't remember the exact quote, but essentially a lot of these bros come from Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, which has a lot of value in it. But they've latched onto this part of the book where this person who's worth, I think if you do a quick Google, $300 million this man is worth from art, as a producer of art. He has made $300 million and he writes in his book. I mean, it's complicated because obviously
he's
misinterpreted
a lot.
I would say Rick himself, if you asked him, should artists get paid? I think Rick Rubin would say, yes, of course artists should be paid. But I think putting these sort of romantic ideas into the head of your readers can lead to dangerous things where people start thinking, great, artists shouldn't be paid for anything. Are you trying to look up the exact quote?
Yeah, I've just got quotes from people like in this thread. A lot of people used Rick Rubin as their backup, as their source of why artists shouldn't get paid. Making art and making things for profit are two totally different things. Rick Rubin's new book discusses this perfectly. And I just I couldn't disagree more. I could not disagree more. And it makes me so fucking annoyed. Like, making something for profit, like, fuck off. Like, fuck off. Why do you... Oh, my God. Why does it make it dirty?
I don't know. Especially because what you're trying to say then is, oh, artists should never have a profit in mind, and therefore artists should stay poor. And when you're poor, it's harder to make art. You have fewer resources to make art. You have less time to make art. You have less mental capacity to make art. You have fewer opportunities. Like, it's just... They're basically saying, let's make things difficult for artists, and that's where the best art comes from. And if anything was going to be easy, if anything was going to be give artists more capacity, then that's wrong for some reason.
When results are wanted, it ceases to be art.
Yeah,
it's like purity culture. Like, it has to be this only internal motivation. It has to only be like an expression of something within yourself that's pure. Like, that's not what art is, and it would be so boring if that's what art was. And I fucking hate it. And I see this narrative, like, it bleeds out into only create for yourself, don't create for any other audiences, which is a huge one. And I understand the value in this sentence, because if we're only ever trying to please other people with our art, we I think lose some magic. But this idea that you have to, again, only create from within, never create to delight other people, never create to make any money, never to create to, like, for anything for ourselves, it's like art is a martyrdom complex. Like, artists have to be martyrs, and it's super, super icky,
because we do create so much value for the world, so much value. You know, almost the whole artistic industry is worth hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. It's just that other people capture our value often.
Yes.
And we are making so much, and that's just from the monetary, in the monetary sense. You know, these big corporations, you know, big publishers, big music studios, these are extremely well-off companies. Like, people love, and I think that, I don't know where it comes from, but we love this myth that the arts are dying, you know, publishing is dying. Publishers make a lot of money. Maybe not the people who work for the publishers, but certainly the publishers.
The publishers, yeah.
Are extremely profitable businesses, and the same for music studios.
Yes.
It's in their interest, once again, to spread this idea that it's a dying industry and that it's not valuable, it's not worth anything, because then they can capture as much value as they can.
It's so sad, and I want this to change, and I hate this constant romanticization and misinterpretation of this, like, purity of art.
And you know, literally just think about it logically. I produce a piece of art with quote-unquote purity, with no thought, only the art is my only thought, and I produce exactly the same piece of art, exactly the same, and I think, maybe I can make some money out of this. How is that piece of art any different? If it's the same piece of art,
I think what they would say is that they would say that during the creation process, if you knew you were going to sell it for money, that it would have tarnished your creation process.
Well, what if I'm a nuanced human being who can hold, multiple things at the same time?
Yeah. It really grosses me out. It reminds me of like the virgin cults in like this idea of keeping it something so pure. Like, and it's like, you can't keep it pure. We're human beings. We're so messy. We're so complex. We have so much baggage. Like, it's going to go into our art. You can't keep it pure. So stop trying to.
And also, you know, harking back to last week's episode, it's a perfectionist thing as well.
Amen.
It's like, I have to have this extremely pure, perfect moment where I'm just so in the zone. I'm not thinking about anything else. There's no room for mess. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for anything. Just pure art. That's all there is. It's like, we live in a body, we live in a mind, we live in a world like where there are other competing interests at play. And that's just a reality. So you want to walk away from all of that? Like, you want to ignore all of that? It's crazy to me.
It's crazy to me too. I want to kind of like, I don't know if like we're dipping into a controversial space here, but a lot of the time this discussion veers to, oh, if we weren't living in a capitalist world, like ideally art would be free.
Well, if we weren't living in a capitalist world, a lot of things would be free.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a moot point.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
But we are living under capitalism.
And I worry that often happens. That conversation often happens. And then it gets, again, it gets picked up and translated as artists shouldn't be paid.
Also, this is a bit of a hobby horse of mine, but there is a huge difference between being an artisan in a capitalist society. So being someone producing a good with their hands, essentially, which, you know, most art comes under if you have a loose definition of producing something with your hands by yourself, even with the help of a couple of people to sell so that you can live. That's a big difference between being a giant corporation and mass producing something and engaging in consumerism. Like, one is a generous act saying, I've made something lovely and I would love to share it with you, but I also need to live. So it'd be great to be remunerated for it.
Mm.
It's a big difference between that and going, hi, we've mass produced 10 million t-shirts and we're going to trick you into buying them.
Yes, exactly.
There's so much difference. There's so much room between those two things. And I think that gets lost in this discussion.
It does, yeah.
That's why we have
this controversial take that like selling your art can live outside of a capitalist structure.
Well, people have been selling art since before capitalism. Like, people sold things before capitalism. Selling things is not capitalism. Mm. A market economy isn't capitalism. Or even just, you know, the first person who traded a piece of some kind of good to someone else for money was not a capitalist.
Mm.
They were just like, you have something I want, I have something you want, shall we
exchange,
swap?
Yeah.
That's not capitalism.
Mm.
It's just not capitalism. Like, there's no, you don't have to, anytime there's any money involved, it doesn't mean it's some kind of dirty thing, selling thing that means you've entered the impure world of business and capitalism with all the fat cats and now you're like becoming one of them.
Mm.
I would even argue that, you know, Taylor Swift is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe $1 billion. And I would argue that's a much more, I mean, this is maybe also controversial, a much more pure way to be worth $1 billion than, say,
of course,
someone who's, I don't know what a non-controversial example would be, a big pharmaceutical company selling opioids
or something. You're selling art.
Yeah, you're selling art. And it's like, you know, no one's forcing you to buy Taylor Swift's art. She's just making stuff that's pure to her and enjoyable to her. And people are
fucking obsessed with it.
Interested in it. Yeah.
There's many different ways we could take this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I was even thinking of bringing up that issue that Jess had the other day.
I don't know if that
would be a conversation you'd want to have.
Definitely.
An incredible artist, friend of ours, has a price point on her art that is a bit lower than what the market would dictate. And she was getting harassed for it by other artists saying, you're underpricing us, you're like pricing us out of the market. And like people were really pissed at her. And she came to us and was like, what do you think of this? And I think it's literal bullshit.
I mean, the idea that the market is so sensitive to supply and demand that one artist having a slightly lower price for a piece of art is going to somehow ruin the whole market for everyone else is completely absurd.
Mm.
It's completely absurd. Like, there's just no way that an artist selling for slightly below market rate is going to in any way take resources away from someone else.
One artist. Mm. We're not talking about Amazon underpricing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'd be a problem. If Amazon was coming and producing the same work at a third the price, that's a
fucking problem. Yeah.
But a single artisan doing it?
Yeah.
not a problem.
It's not an issue. It's just like, and you know, the way, I mean, we could have a whole podcast on how we price our art, but like, you know, it's the story we tell, like we are allowed to price it however we want to price it, you know, and we sell our art with, you know, a certain narrative when we put a price on it. Like this is, it's just like price however you want to fucking price it.
And it's not like it was, you know, and Jess is making a decent living and, you know, she, I don't know the exact details, but she's a full-time artist and, maybe it's just easier for her to sell.
It is. It's easier for her to sell lower cost.
There's nothing wrong with making it easier. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing wrong with
she art. She sells her art when it's at that price.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just no problem. And then I think the other issue was that someone was saying that it looks like she's undervaluing herself.
Oh, yeah. There was like a coach that came and said, oh, it looks like you don't value your own work. And it's just, I mean, the idea that price reflects anything really is like a bit of a joke because it's so arbitrary. And it also, what a fucking rude thing to say to somebody.
Also, yeah, you're exactly right, Amo. You know, price does not mean value.
Mm.
Price, we've come up with this weird idea that price means value. And if you want to read Mariana Mazzucato's book,
The Value of Everything,
it speaks about this beautifully. But value doesn't just come from the price you put on a good. You know, value can come from the ease that you get from living your lifestyle. Value can come from how much joy you bring to yourself and others. Like, value can come from a thousand different places, infinite different places, not just whatever price something is assigned to. Yeah. Your value as an artist isn't just how much do I sell my artwork for.
Yeah.
I mean, by that token, every author is...
It's $18.
Yeah, I mean, max. Amy's ebooks are $3.99 on Kindle.
That's true.
So it's like, sorry, Amy, you're
worthless. I value myself so highly, so fucking highly. And yeah, my ebooks are $3.99 right now. Casual plug.
Which is like, let's face it, an impulse buy. Come on, guys. Just go with that coffee for 1 week. If you haven't read Amy's books, what are you doing?
Come on.
Yeah. Problematic.
I think, you know, this also brings into another whole conversation of, you know, I think often... This is spicy.
Why is this all so spicy? It's like, as soon as you bring money involved, people...
Anyway. So I think what happens is there's a lot of artists who are very angry that they have to sell their art.
Sure.
Not that they have to. They don't have to. But they don't like that they have to market their art. And so then they go on this rant about how it's like a... tarnishing of their art process because they have to market it. And you get a lot of conversation. I didn't sign up to be a sales guru. I just wanted to write books. And these are often the same creatives who are engaging in the story that the money has been tarnishing their art or the business has been tarnishing their art. And I think the whole conversation gets kind of globular and like blurred lines. And there's this really anti-money.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, but bringing it back to the capitalism thing, if we didn't live under capitalism, if we lived under some kind of more post-scarcity abundant civilization, then yes, you wouldn't need to do those sort of things if you didn't want to because
you would have money for it anyway.
Just be able to live.
Yeah.
So I can understand that frustration, obviously. Like, it is annoying that we live in a system that requires you to monetize what you do to survive.
Yeah.
Because ideally we'd be monetizing things to thrive or we wouldn't have to meet our basic needs by monetizing things. Like, ideally that would be the society we would live in. That's not the society we live in right now. I can understand the frustration with that.
Yeah.
Totally. But I think that my rebuttal to that would be there was never some kind of utopian time where we never had to market our art.
I know.
You know, I think there was this idea that before the internet, people kind of just like released their art via a gatekeeper and then bam, it took care of itself. But in reality, most of the art that got released via gatekeepers before the internet fizzled or went nowhere and you had no power then to try and push it yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, at the moment, you still have the gatekeepers, so you still have that option.
Yeah.
And then you also have the option to market it yourself.
Yeah.
So you kind of just have more options now.
Yeah. And I think people really idealize this like untrue and not real past of like when we didn't have to market our art, when we've always had to market our art. I don't think this is the case for everyone because I mean, I get drained fucking marketing stuff. Like sometimes I mean, I'm like,
neither
Jesus.
Of us love it. I'm honest.
I'm
or is that sorry, true? It's not that we, I think we enjoy marketing our art. I think that we both do find it quite exhausting.
It's tiring.
Tiring.
Yeah. Like, I really do hear you. Like, it can be really tiring. But I often hear when someone says, like, oh, I didn't sign up to, why am I a full-time content creator? I thought I was just going to be an author. I'm like, do you just not want to back yourself? And I think a lot of the time it's people don't want to be their own biggest fan.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because that requires a lot of inner work to have to really fucking back yourself.
And also, I think that people think that you have to spend like 8 hours a day marketing yourself in order to be successful.
Oh.
Do you know how much time Amy spends building her Instagram account? Like, it's not 8 hours a day.
No, it's not at all.
It's like you think of a post in the morning for, I don't know, a couple, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably while you're journaling.
Yeah.
Well, throughout the day, it's just on in the background. And then you literally just write that on a sign and take a photo.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Do you know what? It's been like... It's because it's so consistent. Because I do it every day. That it's true. Wild, I guess. That,
yeah.
And that it's... But well, that I guess I've just got a lot of posts under my belt here.
True, true. And it's much easier for you now because you've got that muscle.
Yes.
Like the Seth Godin thing where, you know, if you know you have to write a blog post every day, your brain just thinks
it's... Your brain just does the work, yeah.
But it's not like, once again, your efforts to promote your art are not extremely intensive. Like, they don't take up a lot of time. Yes, when there's a specific project to plug, I think that's a little bit more intense for us, but mostly it's an emotional draining. I think it's like just vulnerable to put your...
It's so vulnerable, yeah, and that's what's tiring. Even just releasing these US tickets for some reason got huge vulnerability hangover, and I was like, fucking hell, what the fuck am I up to?
Yeah.
Had to really like talk myself down there, which was interesting. I haven't had to talk myself down from like an inner critic spiral in a while.
True.
But and yeah, and that's that vulnerability hangover. But like time-wise, we don't need to give everything. You do not need to be a full-time content creator.
In fact, if you're...
What are you
if it's
doing?
Taking up a huge amount of your time,
you're
doing it wrong.
I think you're doing it wrong, yeah.
Unless you're some...
You
kind
are
of,
an artist first.
Totally, totally. And I think that is the thing, is that you're going to reap more benefits by focusing 90% on your art and maybe 10% on the promotional side, on the...
Mm-hmm.
That's going to benefit you more in the long run. Like, what Amy gives away on Instagram shouldn't be her top tier product.
Mm.
It shouldn't be. It should be the lowest tier product.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it could still be fun and engaging and interesting, but it's like, well, then if you want to actually get the goods...
Buy my books. Come to a workshop.
Yeah. Same like this podcast. This podcast takes us 30 minutes a week.
It takes us a lot of mental energy at the moment, doesn't it? Well, we've postponed this podcast like 7 times for some reason.
Well, it's because the mics weren't charged on Thursday on our time slot to do it, which was a shame.
You can't... We were absolutely floored by that one. We're just not... We're done.
But, you know, you miss a week, whatever.
Yeah, we survive.
I think that's the thing. It's like, you don't have to have a marketing strategy or a selling strategy that takes up all your energy to make... Away, yeah. It takes all your energy away from making art. And if you do have a strategy like that, probably need a new strategy.
I agree. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I feel like it's a wide-ranging conversation, but I just want anyone who is, you know, wanting to make money with their art or is on the journey of making money with their art, like... For me, like, making money with my art has made me a better artist. Like, it is, and it has enhanced my practice, and it makes me feel so proud and delighted, and it has honestly only been more magical. And these narratives that it tarnishes it, I think they come from a really dark place, and a place that is trying to keep artists small, and I really don't like it. And I just want to encourage all of us who are trying to make this work. I'm really proud of you. You're doing something really beautiful. You deserve a lot of money. You make cool stuff.
I agree.
Anything else you want to say, James?
No, I think that was a great way
to... Do you have any news?
Well, I just our workshops.
Yeah.
Amy's about to finish the edits on the Winnie Draw book.
I am. I've got one more week.
And then the weird thing is that the book then will be like 99% done, hopefully.
Yeah, fucking...
And then it won't come out for another 10 months.
Yeah, super
weird.
I mean,
there's still copy edit and proofread and stuff.
Yeah.
But the actual, you know, like the bulk of the book...
Yeah, I really don't understand what they're doing over there. Like, what's going to happen this next 10 months?
Yeah, I think they spend a lot of time selling it to booksellers.
Mm.
A lot of time. The cover still has to be done.
Yeah, that's true.
Which will be really interesting.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date with the cover.
And we've got some interesting ideas for marketing the book.
Yeah, we've got a meeting with my agent next week about, like, oh no, it's this week now, about how we want to market. And again, this makes me really excited. Like, I'm so super excited about this.
Yeah. But once again, you know, they're not ideas that we are wanting to spend...
Not going to be full time.
A lot of our energy on. These are just fun things that we're going to intersperse throughout the next 8 months, like at a very slow, manageable
consistent pace. Yeah.
Something that was great, and this might not be relevant to most of you, is that we had the first book club as part of the Inspire Collective this week.
Oh yeah, so much fun.
Which was really, really fun. I really loved that.
Yeah.
for those of you who are listening who are in the collective, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. Amy and I had a great time discussing Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. And if you are in the collective, we'll be doing a second book club on the same book next week.
Fun.
For those of you who couldn't make it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Let's wrap this baby up.
Great. Happy to do that. Thanks, guys.
Have a beautiful week, guys.
We love you.
We love you.